My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Well, I've been saying it today. I look at it as tomorrow being the end of the offseason. Include the weekend if you want. But today and tomorrow are for, okay, everybody, what do we think here? And then Tuesday, it's like, okay, who plays for Arizona? What is the spread? What does the injury report look like, or at least by Wednesday? Is it going to be nice out, or is it going to rain? Who else is playing in week one? What's on TV? Who's announcing this game? And after Sunday the 8th, it is just the season. And we're not talking too much about what we think they're going to be. We're talking about what we see and what we know, what we have. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. How'd I do there, Sal? How'd you like my little presentation?
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm getting ready for week one, man. I've been thinking about it a lot lately, actually. You know, it's funny. Last 2 years, the Bills did not open on a Sunday. They opened on a Thursday night, of course, in L.A., and then they opened on a Monday night last year. And it just always felt different leading into week one. I love week one Sunday, and I love when the Bills are playing on week one Sunday. It just, I'm kind of ready for it now. Like, I want it to happen. I wish it was this weekend, basically. So yeah, I'm here for it.
You know how it is, though, right? Like, if not by Tuesday, by Wednesday, we're looking at spreads. We're looking at injury report. You know, we'll have you on every Wednesday at a certain time, you know, media day, and the Cardinals, and just all it just gets crazy, and I love it. And frankly, also, I'm so tired of talking about the same off-season topics every day. I mean, who's going to catch the ball has taken its toll on me, Sal.
Yeah. Listen, there's still a lot of those things that we're going to be figuring out as the season goes on, too. I mean, I don't know what one game is going to tell us. It'll tell us a little bit, but there's a whole journey here to get to. And, you know, maybe the Bills show up and don't look their best in week one, and then suddenly, you know, a few weeks later, things start to get a little bit better because they have a little more time on task. Or maybe they show up week one, and you're like, wow, this is what they've been talking about and what we haven't seen yet. So I think this, more than any year, Mike, I've said on a lot of shows I've gone on, people ask me about the Bills, of course, and I say it's just more of a wonderment. Like, I just don't know what to expect. What it could go really either way a week from Sunday.
I was saying before, now this is more of a, you know, week one kind of question because it's about the Cardinals, but a little bit the perception of the Cardinals and the Bills are kind of like opposites right now, where Arizona, which has won nothing, is kind of buzzy. People are excited about Murray and Harrison and more. And with the Bills, it's more doubts and questions. So interesting way to start the season, maybe not the most comfortable. When you're playing a team that kind of on the surface, you feel like they should beat. But the way it sounds, the discourse kind of takes you in a different direction.
Yeah, listen, you're talking about the Arizona specifically, right? I mean, just like kind of playing them, right?
Well,
and I would say, yeah. I look at their schedule. Right? I think about the Bills' schedule for a second. All the teams that play, they have a tough schedule. We know that. But this is one of the teams that I would say, if you said to me, who would you like to see them open up with? This is one of the teams I would pick. I think Tennessee would be another one, New England. I like the opponents that you could start with. Okay, you know, you don't have to play your best football necessarily week one, but you still have a really good shot to go 1-0 and beat them. Sure, there's a lot to be said for the national storylines of the tough games and going to New York last year and playing the Rams the year before, whatever it might be in week one. But the Arizona Cardinals are a team that the Buffalo Bills should beat. They didn't win many games last year. They have not played any of their starters at all, basically, this entire preseason. They have less time on task than the Bills do. I still think the Bills are the better team, but yeah, I mean, you know, you go out there and you'd like to, you know, show that on paper and if it and on the scoreboard, I should say. It is a matchup, a little bit of an unknown. There's no doubt about that, but I still think the Bills are the better team, and that's why they're gonna be like 5.5-point favorites, maybe, right?
Yeah,
now?
That's the last time I looked.
Yeah,
5.5, which is like, you know, that's sort of in kind with what I'm sort of thinking and laying out about the matchup is sort of it's a little bit of an uncomfortable number, 5.5. Well, we think you're better. Yeah. On the road, are the Bills like even favored against the Cardinals? It's that kind of number where if you do the 3 points at home thing, they wouldn't be technically. But yeah, all right. Well, that's more for next week. How about as far as today goes? We've got some practice squad stuff to talk about. First, Sal, safety Lewis Seen from Minnesota. Interesting the parallels with Elam here a little bit. Late first round pick 2 years ago, and this player, the Vikings couldn't make it work to the extent that he is released, you know, before his third season. I mean, that's pretty stark for a first rounder. I talked to Matt Collar earlier today from Purple Insider. He's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. It just went so badly for Lewis Seen. What do you think the Bills are, no pun intended, seeing in him? And, you know, it's practice squad, so why not, right?
Mm-hmm. Listen, that draft, if you remember, there was a lot of DBs. We knew the Bills needed a DB. They were probably going to target one, and there were plenty of them there. If you remember how that draft started, it was Darryl Stingley, Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley, of course, Sauce Gardner. You know, you go on, I'm taking a look now. Let me make sure I have it right here. McDuffie goes a little bit before Elam, and then right after that, remember the kid from Clemson? Who was the kid from Clemson we thought maybe the Bills would take? Not Roger McCreary. He went. Listen,
Booth.
Roger McCreary. Yes, Andrew Booth. Thank you. And Andrew Booth now, where's his career gone? He's also been kind of a disappointment, right? So this has kind of been up and down for that group of DBs. And then Lewis Seen was the last pick of the first round. He's a safety, of course. Daxton Hill, same thing. There's a lot of talk about Daxton Hill in Cincinnati, where he fits in, what he's doing there. Lewis Seen, he did have that injury 4 games into his NFL career. Really was a severe leg break. As Matt said earlier, I was listening to him, and I agree. It wasn't just the injuries that's kept him off the field. It was, you know, the fact that he was not developing and not to the level of the standard that they thought they were getting when they drafted him, which is interesting to me. He comes from Georgia. He played at a super high level. Somebody asked me today, why do Georgia defensive players not translate to the NFL? And I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think there are a lot that do. Jalen Carter comes to mind, right? I think that a lot of times you just get so many from a school because they're so good that the odds are and the numbers are you're going to get guys that don't sometimes, right? You're also going to get guys that do. But there is something in there, I think, where you say you're just such a great team with so many around you that you don't have to be, you don't have to be a superstar necessarily, but you can still become a superstar in your own right the way people look at you. And that could be it. And then you do the testing. They have these athletes, these great athletes. And Lewis Seen, maybe he falls into that category. Maybe he's a guy that his measurables were great, super good athlete, but he's surrounded by all these 5-star recruits. So that's going to really highlight him, even if he's not necessarily the best player on the team. And I think at this point in his career, it didn't work out for Minnesota. They tried to come back with him last year after the injury. He became inactive after a while. Goes through the preseason. They cut their losses now. Something a lot of people thought maybe the Bills would do this offseason with Kyre Elam to your parallel. But Elam's kind of stepped up his game, and now he's one of the top 4 corners on the Buffalo Bills, boundary corners at least. So it's just a situation now, I think, where Minnesota just decided they're in a position, they're in a situation this year where it's better to move on right now. He's not really going to help them. And the Bills look at him and say, okay, A, we've done a good job here with safeties and DBs under Sean McDermott. They have. And under Bobby Babich. No doubt about that. B, he doesn't have to come in right away and, you know, be an impact player. They can take their time and see what they have in him. And C, maybe biggest of all, Mike, his college position coaches here,
yeah.
Jamil Adai, which apparently was a big reason why he came here. So I'm sure the Bills said, or Jamil Adai, one of them went to each other and said, look, this kid can play. He's got traits at least. I think I can coach him. I have a relationship with him. Let's go do it.
Yeah. What about the significance of that? I mean, I don't know how much you know about the story where he's going to the Jets. This has happened before with the Jets and the Bills, I seem to recall. But anyway, it seemed like to people he was going there and then came here. Do you know anything about just how that played out? I think I lost Sal. You know why I think that? Because he's not talking. That's why I think that. Maybe the phone is ringing, so maybe his unit went or something. And this is Sal. Is that going to be him? Sorry about that, everybody. Sal, you were saying, yes, I was asking you if you knew any more to the story of how he ended up maybe changing his mind.
No, I don't know exactly how he changed his mind other than what's been reported, which was his college position coach, you know, and him have a relationship, and the Bills and other teams still kind of recruited him. It wasn't just the Bills to not go to the Jets because he was originally supposed to go to the Jets, and then he obviously must have felt comfortable. So at some point we'll talk to him and we'll ask him how all that went down. It appears as though Jamil Adai has a big assist in this.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur hotline. There was another move, at least one that I know of, made on the practice squad today, Jalen Virgil. Sal brought his name up to me yesterday, and I know names from all the fantasy stuff I'm doing, and this guy scored a touchdown in the league a couple of years ago, but I did not know this name. I did not remember it, so this was a stumper, but you sort of gave us a heads up yesterday that this might be happening, and I guess officially now it has.
Yeah, and they've released Deion Kane, and you know, remember we talked yesterday, and I told you I did not think it would be KJ Hamler who would be let go, because I think they're trying to have a few guys here that can do some different things, and I think they want to have some insurance in the return game. So KJ Hamler stays, but Deion Kane makes the initial practice squad signing, and then now he's been released. You know, Virgil has been with the Denver Broncos, and apparently, in his situation, he didn't really want to leave Denver. He liked his situation in Denver, and he was really torn. But reportedly, he feels he has a path to 53 here, possibly in Buffalo, which probably tells you something about the Bills receiving room, or at least what the perception is of it, right, by others outside of their receiving room. So he comes into Buffalo. He's a guy that he's really a lot of people consider him more almost a gadget player. A guy that you could put the ball in his hands, you could do a lot of different things. He's played 9 games in his NFL career, but he's only had 2 catches for 75 yards. So he has averaged 37.5 yards a catch, and one was a touchdown, right? I mean, right. You can do that. But, I think this is a kind of big play kind of guy, right? And you put him in certain situations where you think maybe you can get him the ball and he can make a play. I think the NFL, as we talked about yesterday, Mike, is just shifting. The Bills are, at least, and I think a lot of the teams are shifting to these types of players where you got to get them the ball and then they can make a play for you. You don't have to necessarily throw it over the top of everyone to make the play because it's going to be too tough to do that.
You know, just quickly, Sal, on Deion Kane, I know you say all the time, and I know this too, you said it about Andreessen all the time. Okay, he's made the 53, but it can change in a day. This is not necessarily how it's going to end up. And I've heard from Ross Tucker and probably yourself that teams don't always tell players that they made it. They tell them when they didn't. The conversations are with players who have been released or waived, and maybe you just find out Deion Kane, maybe you found out that you survived Tuesday because nobody called you, right? It could be like that. But I wonder if he just would have expected the next day to be released or were given any sort of heads up for that. Probably not. It's just like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And every situation is different. Every team is different. I do know that the Bills, when they release a player, at cutdown date at least, I'm sure it goes a little bit differently during the season or this time of year. There might be a little bit more of a phone call, but I do know that they meet with every player individually they're releasing when it comes to cutdown day, and they let them know why they're doing that and what that player you might need to work on, or, hey, we want to get you back in the practice squad. Hey, best of luck to you out there. If we can do anything for you, let us know. They try to make that personal relationship. That's important to Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. They've talked about that a lot. They want to make it personal because it's a tough business and you develop these relationships with people. But you do make the team, you get signed. They don't have to tell you. Now, you could have Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, Bean in this case, I would say to Deion Kane, hey, we're going to sign you, But look, we're still looking around for other people, and there's a chance here we could sign someone, and you know, we may have to release you. Or they could say, hey, get signed, and this is what we're doing, and you know the way this business is. And I don't really know those conversations, but I'm sure in the back of these guys' minds, a lot of them, that they understand that, you know, they have a tentative spot. Let's remember, practice squad players are already free agents. They can sign with any team at any time. So as much as the team can do that to them,
right,
they can do it to the team, Mike. I mean, they can go and say, hey, by the way, I just got an offer to go to another team's 53. I'm off. See ya. You know, I mean, like, it's a business both ways like that.
Yep. They can do that, and then the team can decide whether or not they want to elevate that player because of it. They don't want to lose him. Maybe a lot of us have had job situations where, you know, maybe you couldn't get an increase, and then you got an offer, and you went to the boss and said, I'm taking this offer. And he said, well, I'll give you the increase. You know, that's something that can happen. But, you know, it's too late for that manager.
Well,
so.
let me just say, though, and not, I don't know which one, if you're suggesting the other way. I'm not that you're suggesting this, but you're right. The team can decide to put that player on their 53, but there's no rule or requirement. There's no. Yeah, right. It's a common courtesy. And I know players. I've talked to players in the past who told me a team came calling for them on the 53, but they knew it was really more for an injury to another player, and they didn't know how long they'd be there. They're already a little established in Buffalo. They've been here, and they think they just want to stay. It's comfortability and the understanding that maybe at some point they're going to be on the Bills 53. So instead of taking that job somewhere else for maybe 4 weeks, they just stay where they are and say, I have a good situation here. You know, I'll have a chance to get elevated or signed at some point if I work really hard and, you know, something happens here. And then the inverse is correct too, which is what you say, which is a lot of times it's a courtesy. I've heard many stories of guys being, you know, offered a spot on a team's 53, and then the player/agent goes to the Bills and says, hey, we're going to take this unless you're going to sign him. We prefer being here. And the Bills can say, we don't have a spot for you. I'm really sorry. Then the player's off. Or, you know what? We're going to do that because we don't want to lose you.
Sal, I took two calls last hour from people who I thought, you know, these could be questions I could put to you. So if I may, the first was about Tyler Bass. A caller thought that he'd identified, and maybe there are many people, and even yourself perhaps, who have thought that you noticed this, that Bass, toward the end of last season, had his field goal attempts start to drift right, even on certain ones that he made. And of course, in the Kansas City loss, that's how it all ended. I wonder if that's sort of new to you. Is it something that's gotten better this year, or just where you think in general, how solid is his footing, no pun intended here, going into the season, Bass?
Well, two things with this. Let's talk about the specific issue of pushing the ball right. Yes, I think that's true. I agree. And I've seen it happen in the misses in practice. Most of the misses, I think somebody charted all of them. I didn't have them all. I did, like, certain days I would say, like, what he was. But I think it was like 16 of 24 at one point in practice, whatever the numbers. I'm not totally positive, Mike. But out of the misses I've seen, I will tell you, the majority were to the right. And that seems to be something that he's trying to correct, work on, struggling with, whatever. I don't know why that is, right? That it could be also just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's something that Tyler, he's a professional athlete, and it's like any of us, if we play golf, we always use golf analogies. If you're slicing the ball, if you're always doing it, you're going to do something to try and fix that, try and figure it out. So whatever the reason is, you know, Tyler Bass, I'm sure, is trying to work on that. But it has been something that has appeared here that over the last, you know, since the end of last season and then into the, you know, preseason and training camp. The other part of it wasn't the miss he had to the right also in preseason. The one miss he had against Carolina last week was to the right, I believe.
Okay.
That is right.
Well, we'll be watching that.
Yeah. So he has a spot here until it gets really gravely, like, if the Bills, Mike, I would say 3-4 weeks in, like, Tyler Bass is costing them games and he's really just not figured it out, I think they're going to have to do something. I think mm-hmm. they're going to have to just say, we got to bring someone. Now, you don't have to release Tyler Bass. Of course, you don't really want to carry two kickers. But you can bring in competition, and you can have him on the roster, because releasing him would cost $7 million plus in dead cap money over the next 2 years, including, I believe, over $4 million this year. It's just not ideal.
No.
Financially, the Bills just don't want to eat $7 million over 2 years on a kicker. I mean, it just doesn't make sense for them. But that they could also just bring in competition. Now, what would happen if you actually said, you know what, we're going to sit Tyler down while he works on this and have somebody else kick. Well, then you got to create a spot on the roster. Then you got to, you know, drop somebody from another spot. They don't want to do that either. I'll also tell you, because I know this, and the Bills will tell you this, they're open about it. I think they really do believe in Tyler Bass, that he can turn this around. I think they've all been around sports.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kickers, long enough to know, sometimes you go into funks and you just need a little bit of confidence and a couple makes to maybe turn around. And they're just waiting for that to happen. Now, he was 5-for-5. Before he missed that last one at Carolina. And unfortunately, it's the last one against Carolina. Unfortunately, it's the last one, the one he carries into the regular season. So to answer the question, how much of a good footing is he on? I think right now he's on good footing. But I think that could change if things go south here over the first month of the season.
You never want to miss the last one when we're hitting in tennis. Just always make the last one.
Right.
Quickly, I want to make sure I get this in because the caller, I told the caller I would. Okay. But Shakir, just your thoughts on how high the ceiling is.
I think, you know, somebody called me, Mike, and reminded and compared him to a Robert Woods type player. I think that's fair because he's a kind of player of Robert Woods. Like, I think, you know, he's not a guy that's always going to be your number one wide receiver and all the team's going to focus on him. But what did Robert Woods do throughout his career? He did have a couple thousand yard years, I guess. So I guess, but for most of his career, he was 500, 600, 700 yards. I think he had a few really good years in there. I think that's where you're talking. What's his ceiling? I don't know if Shakir is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I don't think there's enough balls to go around in this offense to be able to do that, to be quite honest with you. But I think he's going to be steady, reliable, play in this league for a long time. And I think, you know, you're talking probably somewhere between 700-900 yards on a yearly basis and maybe starting with this year. And I think there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Very good. Any more news today and what's tomorrow?
Nothing with the team tomorrow. As far as I know, we don't have like a Zoom or anything, but there's no practice, no media availability. I don't think we're doing anything as far as the team is concerned until we get back next week on a regular game week, to be quite honest with you, as far as, you know, practice is concerned. No other news with the team today. There were a couple net number changes real quick. Yesterday, Marquez Valdes-Scantling showed up with number 15 at practice. He had won, what, 81? So he's at 15 now. And then only one. I didn't get Lewisine's number. Did I? I think they might have posted it, but 89 for Virgil.
Okay. 15. Bill's 15. That was just sitting there? Or did somebody... Jack Kemp. I'm thinking like most recently, but This is going to be bad if it's someone obvious.
Real quick, I do have one more thing. Did you see Justin Shorter today? And I know that
tight end.
I've been reporting on it.
Yes.
They listed him as a tight end.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Yeah, really weird. Like, it's just interesting. I don't know if that was a mistake, but apparently not. I don't think they've corrected it. Like, they just put him at tight end. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess maybe they wanted to play tight end.
Did you see the Giants unretired a number for Malik Nabers?
I did. The first number ever retired in professional football history, apparently. Yeah.
Number one, 90 years ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's funny, like, they got the family's permission. The family's probably like, who's Ray Flaherty? I mean, just sure, fine. What do we get? Do we get anything if we give you permission from our late great-grandfather? He wouldn't mind. This is what he would have wanted. He would have wanted, 90 years later to be, basically have his career erased by the next guy. He would have wanted it this way. Okay. Sal, thank you. If we don't talk tomorrow, I mean, exciting times. Happy Labor Day weekend, and we will get busy here next week starting Tuesday.
You got it. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only Outlet Liquor. Your place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I invited my friend Josh Mora and former colleague on to join me next. He and I work together at Empire Sports Network. We both have Channel 2 roots, and he and I have reconnected lately because he has an excellent podcast called The Back Nine about getting older with Dennis Williams, who for a minute did evenings, I know, right, at length here at WGR. So Dennis and Josh team up on their podcast, The Back Nine, and Josh will join me next to talk some Bills and also just catch up on life. And maybe, of course, a little bit of Empire Sports Network nostalgia. That's After Sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Excited to take a few minutes to catch up with Josh Mora, who I worked with at Empire Sports Network. You do remember Empire Sports Network, I host, I hope. I am happy to have Josh, who hosts, getting ahead of myself here, his new podcast, The Back Nine, with Dennis Williams, who once upon a time succeeded our show in the evenings here at WGR. Josh, are you back in Orlando?
Mike, I am indeed. It's nice to be on with you and to be back on the air in Buffalo, if only briefly.
Have you ever been on WGR? You think yes or no?
That's a good question. Probably not when I was at Empire, because Bob kind of forbade that, as you know.
Right.
And we had our own outlet. But yeah, I think when I was at Channel 2 before I went to Empire. At some point I must have been.
Or maybe even with Dennis? How well did you know Dennis? I mean, you were colleagues in local TV for a period of time. Did you know him well?
Yeah, we've been friends for 30 years. I mean, since before we came to Buffalo, we worked at sister stations. I was in Elmira, and he was in Utica. And then by coincidence, we ended up at competing stations there. I was at Channel 2, and he was at Channel 4, just within a few weeks of each other back in 1996. And so we've been friends ever since. I don't remember if I was on with Dennis when he was on the air at GR. I don't.
That's okay. This isn't really important anyway, is it? Any previous visits to the radio station you may have had, who needs to know?
No, that's probably right. It's a thrill to be on with you now. That's the important part, right?
Yes, thank you. And it was my thrill to do your podcast with Dennis recently, The Back Nine. It came out this week. Would you please just talk about where the idea came from and what it is?
Yeah, so it's The Back Nine, and it's the number nine. It's available on all the platforms, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all that. It started really in the pandemic. The purpose of it is it's aimed at, guys who are of our vintage, Mike, who have gone through some things, right? He and I are both on our third careers, and we've both been, divorced, and we both have two daughters who are either in college or out of college. And it kind of came about in the pandemic. He was living in California at the time and was going through kind of his first really bad, post-divorce breakup. And we started talking, to each other via Zoom, as one did during the pandemic, to kind of get him through that stuff. And we realized we had topics that might apply to other middle-aged guys. And so we kind of talked, we started it then, and then as things happened, it kind of drifted away. And then last summer, we were together in Chicago You know, we went to see the Cubs and the Red Sox, and we played golf a couple of times. And we were out for drinks with my sister, who said, guys, she's 33. And she said, you guys have to help me with the dating scene. And she just can be, really. And we were like, oh, my God, that's the podcast. And then we really put our brains to it and some energy and money behind it to get it started. And so he had, in the meantime, moved to Delray Beach, Florida. I'm in Orlando. And we now are in person. I drive down there when we record. We have a studio in Delray Beach. And you know, we've been doing it since about early December. We're in the middle of our fourth season. And we're really enjoying it. I mean, spiritually, Mike, it's really where I'm aligned with this notion of kind of helping other guys through all of the various aspects of middle-aged life and how we can accomplish more and face the challenges that happen, you know, at this stage of life.
It's super smart. I really respect and admire this whole thing. I love how you say it's where you're aligned with, what you're aligned with spiritually, because I'm somebody who's more just aligned spiritually with whether Marvin Harrison Jr. is a good pick at the end of the first round. I mean, I need to grow up here pretty soon. But I hope that I was able to share some meaningful words when I was on with you guys.
You did.
Thank you. It's Josh Mora is our guest on the Wester Hotline. If we can, for a few minutes here, go back to when you were working in the media in Buffalo. It's a long time ago, of course, a generation plus, but late 90s, I mean, we had no goal. We had Music City Miracle. You know, the Sabres there for a few years, from Nolan to Lindy Ruff through Hasek. Josh, I mean, putting that into some perspective this many years later, there was a lot of drama. Flutie and Johnson, I mean, those 5 years, you know, there was a lot to talk about.
There was Flutie and Johnson. There was Dominic and the late sports writer Jim Kelly. I mean, there was Ted Nolan. I mean, there were so many things. And especially, Mike, when we were working together at Empire and NSA, I never had a better time in my life covering sports. We felt like we were inventing the whole regional sports network concept. We were breaking stories, and it was a really fun time. People were so engaged in sports in Buffalo. I mean, the whole town gathers around sports in Buffalo, and that's such a special aspect of that entire community. And it was special to be kind of, you know, in the middle of it and adjacent to it at the same time. It was really, really fun. I couldn't have asked for more. And I don't know what it's like to be in the middle of things now. Obviously, the Bills have been very good. The Sabres have not. You know, but I've been in Orlando for 14 and a half years. In this community, while I love living here and I love palm trees and warm weather, it doesn't have the same attachment to its sports teams. And I think few cities really do the way that Buffalo does.
By the way, thinking of those years, I'm remembering Jeff Morrison, who passed away recently from cancer. And he also worked not only there, but here. Jeff was here doing updates many years ago now, but condolences to his family. He was always fun to be around.
He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And when I was still at Channel 2, Mike, Empire hired me before the Sports Network had started to do the MAC Women's Softball Championship at Canisius. And I was play-by-play, and Jeff, I didn't know Jeff yet, and he was the color guy, and we became instant friends. And so, yes, my condolences to his wife, Kyle, and everybody in his family. And he was just one of the other reasons why being at Empire and being at Channel 2 also was so special, was because of the camaraderie that we had. There were so many great, great people that worked there. You and Steve Cishan and Bob Kaczynski and John DeMurl and all of the other anchors. Howard Simon. We just had so much fun. You know, and what's great is I'm still in touch with most of them. I mean, one of the things about the podcast, we have a lot of Buffalo, as you can imagine,
sure,
because Dennis and I became such good friends there. I mean, there's you. Our guest next week is a Buffalo-themed guest. Carrie Sayers, you remember Carrie? She was on at one point. Kevin O'Neill. Nick Bakay has been a guest. you know, so many people that have remained good friends over the years because of those connections. And Jeff was one of them. I kind of lost touch with Jeff and was really sorry to hear of his passing.
With Josh Mora for a few more minutes, some of my favorite memories of working there, I appreciate now how special it was to have the TV partnership because, and you know, they did very well for us on the radio side. There would be these great, you know, famous guests in the building to do TV to promote something, and then they would just be asked to come down the hall, like one day setting up, and Dick Schaap walks in.
Right.
I mean, like, just this is cool. This would not have happened, you know, in our market at just, quote, just a radio station. So, you know, that got me to Steve Tasker and, you know, so many, you know, Larry Felser, so many great people that were so well known locally and beyond.
And people would have Denny Crum on. I mean,
Denny Crum,
that was fantastic, right? and I remember, Mike, one time I was really Darcy Regier was the GM of the Sabres, and Tom Donahoe was the GM of the Bills, and they met. They had both been there for a couple of years, but they met for the first time in the studio with you,
right?
And I thought that was amazing. Like, how can these two guys not know each other? And how neat is it that Mike is bringing them together on WNSA? I thought that was fantastic.
That was really cool. I didn't even think about whether they knew each other. I just thought it was a good idea to see how they would compare their jobs, you know, and just how life is the same, how life is different, Sabres and Bills. All right, fun to think back. You know, one more thing, Josh. You talked about the being. These weren't your words, but on the front end with the regional sports network idea, Empire was a huge deal. That's so different now, right? Like Bally's and everything, these teams have these big money partnerships, and then some of these networks just sort of go away. It's kind of all seemingly, a lot of this stuff tends to be pretty sad, the trends in media, but I wonder how you'd reflect on like what it was like, the business or just that particular part of it then versus now.
You know, I think, Mike, it's an interesting thing. It's sad in many ways. It's also exciting in others, because the way we consume sports and the access we have to sports and the generations that are following us, it's a totally different approach. You know, one of the other things I was really fortunate to be able to do since I left was in my last job at Full Sail University, where I was for 14 years until I left in February. I was the executive director of partnerships. I was able to build the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting with Dan and several other partners on both sides of that. And just watching what they teach now and how the students, you know, they approach things like podcasting, right? You can reach people. How we communicate sports and watch through social media and all of the different shoulder programming and stuff that is created through that. And what's going to be happening, just think about how many cameras are at the Super Bowl now. I mean, 150 plus, almost 200 cameras, right? It's really interesting because there's so many different ways that we can consume sports. The Manning cast on Monday Night Football, what a fantastic idea that is. But when I look back and I think about, you know, how we were at that time, you know, Empire was really the first regional sports network to do sports news and then to add the radio station. And to take such an aggressive and assertive approach to breaking stories and really covering sports as if it was the most important thing in the community. And many days it was. You know, I remember all the things that were going to be built when Adelphia wanted to do the downtown project and forget why it fell apart. But that was a huge part of what could rebuild part of the Western New York community. I'm very glad that other projects have stepped in the void when Adelphia left, but it really felt like we were on the cutting edge of everything that was going on within a community. And even though I had five incredible years after in Chicago, which is my hometown and where I grew up, the joy of it was very different. The joy in Chicago was being involved with the teams that I grew up loving, kind of like you have for all the time you've been in Buffalo. But it was a different energy, and in many ways not as joyful as being a part of the community in Western New York. And I still get to come back. You know, I was there last week. Both of my daughters are there and in school. And it's always fun to be able to go back and to visit with people that, you know, just to see what's happened to the community since I left. It's exciting. It's a very exciting place right now. And I have another project. I have a production company with my younger brother, and we are developing a show. And as we're looking at the final shooting locations, Buffalo is one of the finalists, and not because of my attachment to it, but for totally separate reasons. And we're both excited that it's there.
Very good. Well done, Josh. Great to be connected with you again. The Back Nine, the number nine is the podcast that you can find everywhere. Thanks for today.
Mike, thank you. Great to be connected with you, and kiss the ground in Buffalo for me.
All right. Josh Mora on the West Shore Hotline. Back with more next. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Got to be quick here. UB is home tonight. College football against Lafayette. Which immediately, when I say Lafayette, took me to Hamilton. UB and Lafayette tonight, 7 o'clock. Bet 15-20 for play-by-play. Good luck to the Bulls. These are the Bulls who are not yet on the Bills playing tonight. And speaking of the Bills, I just checked at BetMGM. That line is up to 6 now against the Cardinals. Week 1 next Sunday. You can't bet the UB game in New York State. You can't bet colleges from New York State legally for some reason. But, you know, you could cross the border and do it, I guess, if you were really eager about that. So that's tonight and next Sunday. Got another show tomorrow, and the rest of this one will include next a chat I had earlier today with Matthew Collar about the NFC North and the Vikings. But first, a signing by the Bills today, Lewis Seen, released by the Vikings after only 2 years from being a first-round pick. We'll have that for you next. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.